I certainly think also Michael Olise has had a wonderful start. The Bundesliga is really falling in love with him and just seeing how talented he is. And I think people who watch the Premier League knew that. It's a new thing for Bayern Munich fans.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koigig Pod on Off The Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koigig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to look back on what was a very nice international window for us, which included 9 goals. Maybe not exactly the goal fest that we expected in Tala last night, but I am now joined by Karen Duggan to discuss it all and to look ahead to a lovely game against the Welsh in a couple of weeks' time. Karen, how are things?
Things are good. I mean, we can't complain. I'll have to find a way to complain, but I shouldn't.
I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less at this stage.
Exactly.
So we'll reflect on last night first, because that is the one that's clearest in everyone's memories. And also, I think Tbilisi is pretty much sorted. Not a great first half. We scored a lot of goals in the second half when they tired. We managed to find those gaps. Whereas last night, I think that's what a lot of people expected to happen, but didn't really. It felt like Georgia, with having their couple of players that they were missing through suspension coming back into the team, with the experience of Tbilisi on Friday, they knew where to solidify themselves and basically put everyone behind the ball to make sure that it wasn't that 11-0 that we saw back in the day.
Yeah, and look, that's a credit to Georgia and them applying themselves better than they have in previous years. And obviously, they're a developing country. I heard people arguing about the merits of Georgia being at this stage of the competition, but we have to remember there was a time where we were getting very well beaten by teams where the disparity in rankings wasn't even as high. So I think fair play to Georgia. They've obviously made strides from when we last played them. I also think that we knew what to expect, that they would get that many bodies behind the ball. And it's not that we played poorly, but when you're happy enough, you see a few goals going in, you're happy enough. But when you reflect, did we miss many clear-cut chances? No. So is the only slight concern that we have still chance creation? And obviously we went through League A without creating a huge amount of chances, but we didn't expect to. But in games like this, whatever about goals, you expect to be creating a lot more chances than we were. And that's the only thing that would kind of stick out as maybe a point for improvement going forward, because yes, we scored 3 goals, but apart from the penalty miss, can you remember and Julianne's second attempts that she should have put away in the first half, there wasn't a huge amount that we missed. So it's definitely going to be something for Eileen to look at. Look, there'll be more space when we go forward to play Wales, so hopefully we'll have more openings and it'll be a different type of game. But I think it's a little bit of a running theme and maybe just something to look at.
Yeah, it did get a little bit chaotic, especially in the second half, where it just felt all the time in the box. There was a lot of bodies, a lot of arms, a lot of legs, and there was no real space to make those chances that you're discussing. But again, that's on us to pull them out of position and make them. And I think it was interesting last night, of everyone we talked to, Julianne was probably the one that was most disappointed in A, that chance that she missed, and then B, just not creating more. Everyone else was quite buoyant, whereas I think she felt like she hadn't totally completed her role despite the player of the match performance and also being one of the people on the score sheet and arguably our most consistent player alongside the likes of Courtney over the last couple of months as well. So it seems that that's also a feeling directly afterwards that the team is having as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I think they have high expectations of themselves as individuals and now as a team going forward. And it's easy to get caught up when you have a 6-0 win, but you have to reflect obviously on who the opposition are, and 3 of those goals came pretty late on. And set pieces were key to that as well. So, yeah, I think they're right not to be getting too ahead of themselves. I do think that there's work there to be done. And a lot, like you say, we weren't creating a huge amount of chances because there was a huge amount of bodies there. And it's easy to fall, but it's easy to fall into that trap. You know, we had our centre-backs essentially playing as wing-backs. and our wingers coming inside as extra centre forwards and stuff like that. And obviously that won't happen. And a greediness creeps in a game like that where everyone wants a goal in front of a record crowd in Tala. And that's understandable. But these games were about building for Wales now. And like the second half should have been a, like, here's what we're going to replicate against Wales and let's try and do that. You're not going to have your centre-backs up that far. You need to try and draw people out, move the ball quickly. They did it quite well at the start of the first half. But like I say, it's easy to really, we're nitpicking really, because I don't think we were ever going to be able to tell a lot from what this game would give us.
Karen, that's what we're here to do, though. It's what we've done for the last 3 or 4 years. We sit here, we nitpick, and we find something to talk about.
Look, I do think chance creation, not just in a game where we expected to create a huge amount of chances. I think it's in a lot of games that we do struggle with that. And look, maybe in a game yesterday where you wanted to drag people out and make the pitch a lot bigger, I still think maybe there was an opportunity to explore a different shape. It's a different type of opposition. We know who are probably starting 11 and who our first couple of subs are now. But sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you have to be a bit more fluid in terms of shape. And that's not something that we tested. Obviously not going to be something that we're going to change against Wales.
Yeah.
Given that we didn't try it now.
Well, that's what I was interested to ask you, because it's one of the questions that has come in from a listener. Breach Kyo was on to us on Twitter saying, do you think we will stick with that more attack-minded 3-5-2 starting 11 we saw this window, or go more defensive? Larkin had two great games, but for me, Payne has to start versus Wales. Patton, Hayes, growing partnership, great to see, both so good on the ball.
This is an attacking formation because of the opposition. It's the same formation we've stuck with for a number of campaigns now. It has served us well at times, and at other times it leaves us a bit lacking in attack. So that's the interesting thing about this game, is that we have to go out and win. It's not about like the League A games where, God, wouldn't it be great to get a result? A draw isn't good enough. Now we have to have that ambition to go out and win games. And if they think that this is the formation to do that, that's fine. Essentially, there is two up top. In a game where you are under pressure, it puts a lot of onus on the midfielders to cover a lot of space. We know that. So I think the selection in there will be interesting to see who gets those. Obviously, Marissa Shiva, who I probably didn't expect to put her hand up for a place, has done so now. We've seen the number six role change multiple times over the course of the last two campaigns. I think that needs to be nailed down.
What are you nailing it down as? Of all the different iterations of it we've seen, because people keep asking me this question, and I honestly haven't really been able to settle on an answer, because thankfully I'm not manager of Ireland.
Yeah, I find it difficult as well. I think obviously if Arusha was available, I think she'd probably be there, just given her experience and how she can keep the ball and keep the game ticking over, and her bravery. I think that her experience would stand to her. But injury-wise, it's just been too unreliable. So are you looking at maybe converting Jessie Stapleton in and nailing down that place? If you were so, would you not just have left her there last night, give her more experience there, given that she's centre-back at club level? I think it hasn't been exposed, thankfully, as a problem area, but it's an odd position to be chopping and changing as much as we are.
Yeah, and I do think a lot of that probably, as you say, is down to Rusha's general injury profile and the fact that even just the management of her minutes when she is playing. I would agree with you. I think if she's fit and ready, I would like her on the pitch for the next set of games, just with not only the experience she has, but particularly the experience she has with this Welsh side. You know, she's going to know a lot of the players very well, in a way that maybe someone like Jessie, who just hasn't had the time in the league and the time in the legs that Rusha has. But you have to say, I mean, in terms of the young players, again, we say all this with the caveat of who the opposition is, the young players did put their hand up over the last two games. And especially with someone like Abby Larkin, who hasn't really been getting the minutes at club level in the way that a lot of other people are, I was impressed that she was able to come in and look natural enough in that side.
Yeah, games like that as well are about giving confidence. Like, it is an intimidating thing to come in and play at international level when you are that young among some of the players that are there, and having a game like that to kind of settle your nerves is a great thing. Obviously, opposition is a huge thing. I would have seen her more as a replacement for Jessu in that midfield kind of area. I think when it comes to defensive responsibilities, it's a big ask. And again, is she going to play there against Wales? And I don't know. I'd be surprised, given like Heather's got more experience of playing that wing back role. But also, if Heather's out of favour, are you looking at bringing a fit Louise Quinn or Niamh Fahey back in and putting Aoife Mannion out wide like we did for a lot of the League A? And again, that's more chopping and changing. So while it was a brilliant exercise in getting goals and getting confidence up against Georgia, I'm none the wiser as to the starting 11 for Wales.
Well, you did say, like, I'd say less than 10 minutes ago that we pretty much know what our starting 11 is.
We're starting 11, but the shape around it. If you make one change and you bring Louise Quinn back in, that changes the back four. And then does Aoife Mannion go out wing back? And then does Abby move up to the midfield? And then who comes out in midfield? Or are you going back to having Julianne and Leanne up front where you're chasing? So that one change...
It is a very much a ripple effect.
Knock on. Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. Look, you can look at it both ways. You can look at it and say, look, we have options there. It's just that these games are so important now. They're so, so important. Like, we expect to win them. And generally when we've had that tag before, it has weighed on us a little bit. Hopefully the shackles are off now because we've been to that major tournament. But, you know, it's just interesting. They're so important. All eyes are on this team now, and there's a higher expectation than there ever has been.
I know. I saw someone say, and I actually hadn't realised it myself, that Katie's missed penalty last night was the first one since Ukraine and that qualifying tournament. And I was like, no. Do not bring that into any of our consciousness right now, especially at this stage. Yeah, like, looking at those games, I know you were on comms last night, so I assume you didn't really see much of the Wales-Slovakia game. I was kind of half paying attention to it and half watching the game that was in front of me. But it did feel like Wales were very much a side that should have got the game finished within the 90 minutes and will be very frustrated that they had to go to extra time to get it done. Jess Fishlock had the ball in the back of the net twice, both ruled out. Both were offside. I don't think they can really complain about the VAR decisions that went against them on the night. If anything, I saw most people being like, I'm actually kind of grateful that VAR was being used, and interesting in the context of the conversation we had on Koi Gig a couple of weeks ago. I think you may have missed it, Karen. Maybe it was Scarlett and Jamie, but just in terms of a lot of people saying, we want the goal line technology, not sure if we want the full VAR experience. And we saw on Friday night as well, there was that near 10 minute VAR stoppage in our game, which is definitely not what you want from it. But will they, it's so hard to know going into this next round, because we've had the easy fixtures, they've had a tough run, they've had to come from behind. I assume that they're at a bit of a high at the fact that they actually managed to get themselves over the line. And there's no way for us to know this, really, so it's a bit of a pointless question, but how do you think there has been a mentality shift, I suppose, is probably the best question, over the last year or two in this side, that when we're going into this game as favourites on paper, but also against someone we know can easily beat us, do you think that mentality shift is there, that we don't have to worry as much about it?
Yeah, because I feel like the squad have spoken about it, because separately in interviews that were done last night, Jessie Stapleton and Denise O'Sullivan said, we don't care who we get. So that message has obviously been there throughout this camp, that it doesn't matter which of the other teams come through, that we are confident that we will beat them. So I think that that is a definite mentality shift. Like, we've always kind of beaten Slovakia by a goal or two, never unbelievable performances, but we've gotten over the line. In more recent memory, we have the Wales game, right? So that's in the forefront of our mind. But I think these girls are ready to make it right. And I was like, God, Wales are a very good side. Wales are a very good side. But the team that we put out that night is not even related to the starting team. I think there's six players that started that day that didn't even feature last night. So it's a completely different team. And when you look back at the stats of that game, yes, they completely took the game by storm, and Wales overran us and created a lot more clear-cut chances and probably could have won by more. But then we grew into the game. and we made some substitutions and we got a foothold in the game. So I think they're not going to be intimidated by the fact that Wales have beaten us in recent memory, because I think you can put that down to just a really bad day at the office.
I hope so.
I hope. Well, not taking away from Wales, because on that night they showed a hell of a lot of quality as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at them on paper, they have some very, very good players. I think it's going to be a tight affair.
I think so too. And I'm glad that we have the second leg at home, because I think that's important for us in knowing what we need to come to Dublin and do. And hopefully it's a great crowd in the Aviva that night as well. And also, like, the thing about when we played Wales the last time, they were in very much of a transitional period. You know, they'd come out of Ligue 1. They had an interim coach. Rhianne Wilkinson was just coming in. You know, I think she was in the crowd that night in Tala to watch the side. She hadn't actually properly taken a training session or anything yet. So she's put her stamp on the team over the last couple of months. So there are a lot of things that have changed between now and then. We have the benefit as well of going into these games that no one got a yellow card last night, because those do carry over. I thought it was interesting, Eileen Gleeson saying that they must have had about 20 meetings about it over the last 2 weeks about not getting...
Look, she's obviously petrified that Katie was going to get a yellow card.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all were.
Fair enough.
What was it in the opening 30 seconds and Katie body slammed one of the Georgian players, and I was like, oh, no, ref, please don't see that. I think that's why Aoife Mannion was hooked at halftime as well, because Eileen vaguely mentioned and, as she described it, an F up, which I thought was very in the box.
Eloquent.
Yeah, very eloquent of her. I don't know, look, that's fair enough. And maybe that gives us a bit of an insight into the role that she sees Aoife playing in the next two matches, all going well and staying fit. But bar, I suppose, that big injury to Jessu, which we knew going into this international window we were going to have, our hope for the next couple of weeks is everyone stays fit, everyone stays healthy. We have as many options to choose from as possible, because while that is a headache for Eileen Gleeson, it's also going to give us that depth to make sure we can go the full way. Because it is a tight turnaround, a Friday and a Tuesday game, not that long after these games. Okay, yes, they maybe not weren't the most tiring of games, but there's going to be a lot of emotion around these next couple of weeks, and a lot of memories of failed opportunities and a lot of memories of good times as well with getting to the World Cup.
Yeah, there is. I think the people who have those memories are the leaders in the team. So I think that they do a very good job of settling any nerves among the younger girls and the newer additions into the squad. You forget that the newer additions into the squad are all very experienced players as well, playing WSL. So there's a maturity there that there probably hasn't been before. And not in terms of years, but maturity in terms of playing at a high level. And I think that that's great. And I think you can feel that from the younger girls as well. And like, obviously you could say Julianne's coming from a different environment, but she knows her role. Like she's spoken about going, playing with the boys, she's going to be ready. I think everyone is focused on this goal. See, even Arsenal, they've had a strange start to the season, but like you'd imagine that the next 4 weeks, Katie is building towards this, and this is the thing that could potentially change her outlook on this season as well. And Denise was Denise last night. I think Julianne was amazing, but if you wanted to give Denise player of the match, of course you could, like you could in most games. So there's a lot of players playing well at the right time as well.
Yeah, that little link up between her and Katie from the corner for Katie's goal. It was so simple, but it's just so nice to see the two of them playing football together in that way. And I know we probably see a little bit less of it now because we're not as reliant on two of them as absolutes in the team. Like, they're clearly obviously still very, very important, but we don't see as much as of them running all over the place trying to link up with each other. And just seeing that, I was like, ah.
But also a little nod to the fact that Tara Hanlon was floating around the pictures last night. So she's obviously being primed for when she's fit to come into that squad. And if that happens, do Katie and Denise end up playing closer together? Again, it would be interesting to see. Possibly not for this game. Maybe it is like a long-term goal, but interesting. It's interesting insight into Eileen and how much confidence she has in the young players. She's talking about Jessie Stapleton an awful lot, and then to bring Tara in, I think it's a good sign. She's not afraid to leave Aniv Vahi on the bench and give experience to these girls in these games. So I think she's got her eye on the future. I know she's not the head of women's football anymore technically, but I think that was a good sign.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting that you say about Tara, because I did notice her. She came into the media room at one stage in her full Ireland get-up, and Eileen was straight over to her to chat to her. Like, not the jersey and stuff, obviously, mm-hmm. just like the training kit. And everyone was like, oh, is this a sign for the future? Can we start getting optimistic about this? Karen Duggan has promised us great things now for seasons on end.
She better step up now.
Your entire personality as a pundit of the country will be totally eradicated and eviscerated if it isn't.
Yeah, true. I know.
I know. I don't think that's going to be the case one way or another. And yeah, but I mean, I suppose it's something we've struggled with so much in an Irish context, whether you look at the men or the women. Like, what do we want our head coach to do? Do you want them to focus solely on the team? Go on, Karen, you can get that light on. For anyone listening on podcast, the room that Karen's in, the light just went off. So she's waving her arms to get it back on. But yeah, what do you want them to do? Who do you want them to be? Do you want them to be a Trapattoni who comes in and doesn't really nurture that? Do you want them to be a Eileen Gleeson, or even to her credit, Vera Powell as well, like started a lot of these young players off? Is that what you want, or should that responsibility be on other people within the FAI? So yeah, I think
it is on other people in the FAI, but it's on someone to get that under 23 thing set up. And we won't go into it now, but like that's the thing that is needed. And then when they come through, they'll come through at a more consistent rate when they're ready between that age group. And like I said, they're coming into a team now with a huge amount of WSL experience. So it's a lot easier in that environment where pressure is essentially off you, because you're looking around the room and you're saying, right, well, the more eyes are on you than on me.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, David Carell's comments in the pre-match programme last night, kind of giving a bit of a warning shot to politicians about looking for more money and more funding, and also talking a lot about supporting the future generations of Irish football and, you know, the success on the pitch being replicated. And it all felt a little hollow, considering where we are, as you say, in that situation where we don't have the home-based training sessions or an under-23s team. I was like, it's a dangerous line to walk, because people are going to very easily call you out on this and ask, well, you know, what are you doing at the moment to actually support this? So hopefully we might get ourselves...
Well, keep banging that drum.
Yeah, sure. You never know. They might kindly come on the podcast sometime, Karen, and explain all their reasonings to us. Well, until Wales... Well, we still have WSL in between then, but in terms of our Ireland chat, thank you very much.
WSL,
Karen.
You mean training for the Euro qualifier?
Yes, exactly. Our weekly training sessions that we will only care about the Irish players and obviously not care at all about any Champions trophies or Champions League or anything else that comes in between. I know I got,
Perfect.
Once the final whistle went last night, I got kind of nervous, like straight away. I was like, oh no.
Maybe we need a break. You're right.
Yeah, I was like, it's been so long since I felt like this. It's also the game's on the week of my birthday. So if they don't win, it'll be very sad for me. Don't care about anyone else, but you know, just myself.
Yeah, it is all about you.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, Karen, have a good week and I will chat to you very soon. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. As I said, we'll be back with all your WSL championship and everything in between updates very soon. But for now, have a good day and we will see you again.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.